I'll read a couple of portions here. Beginning in verse 16, chapter 23. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They broke in pieces its altar and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests and the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Then he took the captains of the hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the house of the Lord. And they went through the upper gate to the king's house and set the king on the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword. Let's turn over to chapter 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. But still the people acted corruptly. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, and he built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah and in the forest. He built fortresses and towers. He also fought with the king of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid this to him in the second and third years also. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Ahaz, the son, reigned in his place. Let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, we do ask, Lord, that if fine, fertile soil in our heart, that we would regard and honor your word, Lord, and so regard and honor you. Again, we look to you, Lord, that you'd pour out your spirit upon us, change us from the inside out, Lord. Have your way in our hearts and our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. This portion from chapter 23 to 28 really covers five kings and one priest. And we're just going to look at a couple of things here quickly. These little snippets of the mostly bad kings. Good kings, but they had shortcomings. Beginning in chapter 23, I just want to look real briefly. You remember that Ahaziah was killed by Jehu, fulfilling the prophecy last week. We seen that. Athaliah, his wicked mother, assuming the throne, the first thing she did was killed her grandchildren, taking the heirs out of the way, securing her position. Yet, one of them got away, thanks to Jehoshaphat, which was Joash's aunt, or Ahaziah's sister. She took Joash at a very young age and hid him in the temple, raised him there. For the next, 6 years or so, Jehoiada, her husband, the high priest, raised Joash, keeping him incognito as Athaliah, wicked Athaliah, reigned in Judah. But following, he Jehoiada, the priest, a godly priest, not only protected him, but he was careful to, install him or inaugurate him or coronate him the king. He would have his rightful position, fulfilling the prophecy given to David, to the rightful heir. Right under Athaliah's nose, he set it up. He was very careful how he did it. He was very calculated, and he's separating the protection, the security, placing him on the throne, the rightful heir to the king, as Joash is crowned king. Athaliah, when she caught word of it, look at verse 13, chapter 23. She looked, and there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, also the singers with musical instruments and those who led in praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, "Treason, treason." The very crime that she was guilty of, she's calling it out. But Jehoiada, following up on his actions, enacting the rightful king, had Athaliah killed outside the temple. And then what we read this morning, the portion in chapter 23, really started a revival there in Judah under Jehoiada's influence. He stopped the false worship, tore down the towers of Baal, and then he enacted the true worship, the Bible says. The burnt offerings back online, spirit and truth, the rightful worship back ongoing there in Jerusalem. The next king, Joash, as he comes of age under Jehoiada's influence, was a godly king. The Bible tells us in chapter 24, look in verse 2. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. As long as Jehoiada was there, godly man, Joash was a godly king. But the Bible tells us that as soon as Jehoiada dies in verse 15, 16, he died, passes from the scene. Then he comes under another influence. He was never rooted in his faith. Look in verse 17, chapter 24. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespasses. As soon as Jehoiada was out of the way, out of the picture, Jehoiada was a godly high priest there, raising, influencing Joash. And as soon as he passed away, he comes under the influence of the leaders, an ungodly influence, never really rooted in his faith. While Jehoiada lived, he did a lot of repairs at the temple. Really, that's what he was known for. He overseen it. He was in his heart, the Bible says, and he pulled it off. But the Bible says that he turned from God under the influence of these ungodly leaders. And God sent prophets trying to warn him, but he didn't take heed. One of the prophets he sent was Zechariah, Jehoiada's son. Jehoiada and all that he meant to him. And Zechariah, his son, came to him, prophesied, "Turn back, make it right." And he didn't take heed. He disregarded God's word, the prophet's warning, and he had Zechariah killed. The Bible tells us that at Zechariah's death, he called on God to judge. The Lord look on it and repay. As he was being killed, he called for God's vengeance. Amaziah, the next king, the Bible tells us what he was noted for in verse 2, chapter 25. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. He did what was right, but he was half-hearted, the Bible tells us. When you have a half a heart for the Lord, that means you have a half a heart for things that are not of the Lord. and keeping almost down the line. You read the account of his life and the things that he did. He came and he killed the servants that were responsible for his dad's death, which was right. And he didn't have their children killed, which was right, according to the law, for the sins of the father shouldn't be. The kids aren't responsible for the sins of the father. And he did what was right. He did what was wrong, half and half. He made an alliance with Israel, calling on them, paying them as mercenaries to join his fight. A prophet came and warned him, don't do this. It's not right, isn't it? Why would you join with those that God is not with? So he turned from them. He dismissed the troops. He did what was right, doing what was wrong, doing what was right, doing what was wrong, back and forth. Then he turned as he defeated the Edomites. The Bible says that he took the gods of the Edomites and set them up. And, you know, listen, right after following the prophets, heeding his warning, defeating, God's helping him defeat the enemy, he takes their gods, sets them up, bows down and worships them, sets up idolatry. Prophet comes to him, why in the world would you take the gods that the nation you slaughtered and worship them? Don't you know they can't protect the nation? They're a defeated god, a useless god, a vain god, idols. Did what was right, did what was wrong, half-hearted, didn't heed the prophet's warning, judgment came upon him, the Bible tells us. In chapter 26, we see the king Uzziah. Interesting, Uzziah, look in verse 4, chapter 26. The Bible says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. In verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Notice he didn't, he had his affinity correct. He didn't seek the Lord to be prospered, as many do, you know, in the prosperity gospel. There's a marquee here in Roseville that says, money cometh in 2008. Have you seen that? And the guy, I've talked to him, he's proud. I'm one of the first prosperity preachers, he calls himself. As if it's right when it's, it's not condoned in the Bible. Here, he, as long as he sought the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord prospered him, made him strong. Look in verse 26. Verse 7, the Bible says, God helped him against the Philistines, chapter 26, verse 7. Then at the end of verse 15, the Bible says, his fame spread far and wide, so he marvelously helped till he became strong. God prospered him, he was strengthened, he became strong, he became famous, thus setting up the example he becomes in Scripture, one of pride, and how he fell because of his pride. Look in verse 16, chapter 26. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Becoming so mighty and strong, God giving him that power, position, went to his head, thought he could do anything he wanted, didn't regard God's sanctity of the temple or priesthood, went into the temple to offer incense, burn incense before the Lord, position only for the priests. God judged him. The Bible says he was stricken with leprosy. He becomes an example of one that became proud and fell, failed because of it. Jotham, Uzziah's son, the one we read about and going to really concentrate on this morning, in chapter 27, verse 2, did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like Uzziah, but without the transgression. In verse 6, chapter 27, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. How he, really, in this whole passage of six chapters becomes the shining example that we can look at. Ahaz, in chapter 28, he wasn't even a good king at all. He just did what was flat out wrong in the sight of God. The Bible says he acted like one of the kings in Israel. He becomes an example of an unfaithful one. In verse 19, chapter 28, he was unfaithful. Chapter 28, verse 22, his unfaithfulness excelled, and God's wrath came upon him. He provoked God's anger in his life. We see, you know, these five kings and a priest, Jehoiada, a godly high priest, five kings, and examples really that they set before us, really the clip or the what's notated of their life and the example they stand for, some good, some bad. But Jotham, a godly king, he brings to, you know, the print of Scripture an example of one who really filtered out, you know, what was good and what was bad. Raised by his dad, who prospered as long as he sought the Lord, Uzziah, but seeing how pride went to his dad's head. The Bible says that he followed the ways of his dad in the godly aspect, but he didn't transgress. He was able to filter out what was good and follow what was good. A necessary characteristic we all need, you know, to filter out what is good. We're surrounded by examples in Scripture, in life, heritage. He was able, in verse 2, chapter 27, did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done. But he didn't enter into the temple. He didn't transgress. He had sanctity for the temple. He had sanctity, regard for the priesthood. And again in verse 6, chapter 27, the Bible tells us they became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. I want to look at him and, you know, see maybe what he can offer or we can apply from his example, you know, to ourselves for what's right and to do make right decisions. He, following the good example of his dad in the right ways, you remember his dad during the days of the high priest Jehoiada did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He noticed that. He seen that maybe why the influence factor on his dad was the godly influence. But he also seen that his dad didn't, you know, become rooted in his faith. He was leaning on another one, propped up by another one. You know, when you're leaning on somebody else's faith as a prop, when the prop is removed, then you're not standing. What happened with Jotham, looking at his dad, Uzziah, filtering out the bad, only following the good? You know, the Scripture's filled with examples. The Bible encourages us in the New Testament that by the example, we can learn. If we have an open heart towards the Lord, there's an easy way that we can change, the Bible tells us. That these things were written for our example and admonition in the Old Testament. We can look at their lives. Man, it's, you know, clear as day, the mistakes they made. We can apply them. Man, you know, if I follow what is right, filter out what is bad, if I make right decisions, I can avoid making the same mistakes. How the Bible encourages us to follow the example, to sort out, to filter out what's bad, to follow what's good, what's right. We see the examples that we've seen this morning about Joash, how he was, he's the one that was under Jehoiada's influence, propped up. Joash, the one that was under the influence of another, and easily influenced when the godly influence was removed. Amaziah, there's an example. A man that's half-hearted. We see half-heartedness, you know, lived out in a life. That he does half good, half evil. But the judgment and wrath of God coming upon him because he wasn't all in. And God desires us to have a whole heart for him, to follow him wholeheartedly. We see the example of Uzziah, his dad. How the pride, and once he became strong, how he fell. How he thought it was himself, his own decisions, his own life. We see the example of Ahaz, who is just flat out wicked. Of those around us, unfaithful to the Lord, that leads to their own ruin. The example set before us not to follow. Jotham chose to follow the right examples. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We're called to exercise discernment, make choices, sort it out, filter it out. The Bible tells us that he did. He was able to do it. He followed, you know, he looked at his dad's life and he only followed what was good, not what was evil. In that way, he becomes a good example and one to emulate. He prepared his ways, the Bible says. He prepared his ways his ways before the Lord his God. He became mighty, strong, spiritually. Why? Because he prepared his ways, the Bible tells us. That word prepared in verse 6, it means an ordering or an establishing. It really means setting straight. He set straight his own ways in his life and it made him strong spiritually. He not only, you know, was able to exercise right choices and look at his dad's life and follow what was good and not what was bad, not following the familiar spirits or the, you know, the inclinations of his heart passed down, the sinful nature in his gene pool, but he also prepared, the Bible says, his ways before the Lord, meaning ordering his life, making changes and alignment, adjustment, setting straight, conscientious choices, setting straight his way before the Lord, his God. The Bible says that our ways are not his ways. He says that to us. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my ways past finding out. Thus, our ways are not his ways. Our ways need to come in alignment with his ways. The book of Judges, the Bible tells us more than once that the people, corrupt, did what was right in their own eyes, the Bible says. They followed the own inclination of their own heart. And thus led to moral decline, the Bible tells us. Corruption, sin, ruin, destruction. Did what was right in their own eyes. But he, the Bible tells us, he prepared his ways before the Lord, his God. Set straight his ways before the Lord. The book of Proverbs, the Bible says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. I'm going to look at a scripture real quick. In chapter 30, the Bible tells us in verse 11, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. Verse 12. Not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Who think their ways are right, whose ways are right in their own eyes. But the Bible tells us that, you know, if we follow our own inclinations, our ways are not his ways. Our ways are opposed to his ways. But Jotham, the Bible says that he prepared his ways. He set his ways straight. He ordered his ways, or established his ways before the Lord. He aligned and adjusted his ways. We need to set our ways straight. And straight in 2008. Aligning my ways to his ways. I was reading that, you know, the most influential or the deepest core of our, you know, heart or the way of man is his motive. You know, what do I really desire in me? What do I really want, and why do I really want it? That's really what we get judged for, Jesus said. That's what the Sermon on the Mount's all about. It's really why we do what we do. Not so much what we do. What's in our heart? The heart of the matter is our motivation, our desire. Do I desire to excel with Christ in my heart? You know, Jotham prepared his ways before the Lord. Seeing the things that were out of line, making conscientious choices and changes and, you know, judgments upon his own life. Following the right examples of those around him, godly examples. Discarding, filtering out the bad. Following what was right. Turn to Psalm 119. David, another Psalm of David, this whole, the longest chapter in the Bible, talking about God's word and how meaningful it was to David. What it brought forth in David's life and heart. Look in verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. How he calls out to God. Oh, if only my ways were aligned with your word, with your heart, with your spirit, with you. In the passage, he talks about how God's law bringing that effect upon his life. We read about David saying, oh Lord, plant your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The core of my way is my motive, or your way. But how can my way change? Or how can the core of me be changed? That's what David was saying. Oh, by your word. Peter says, that we are born again according to the seed of the uncorruptible seed of the word of God. Taking regard to his word. Listening, heeding the prophet's warnings. Listening to the example set before us. Being sensitive, willing, open to change and make adjustments. Not, you know, if we don't take resolute, conscientious choice to filter out what's bad, we're going to follow in the footsteps of our parents. The sinful inclinations of our own heart. Jotham prepared his ways before the Lord, before God's sight. David, in the psalm, he said, may the meditation of my heart, the motive, what's in my heart, be acceptable to you, O Lord, my God, my Redeemer. May the thoughts in my mind, may the words that come out of my mouth, may my core heart be pleasing to you, Lord. You know, he called upon God for God to do that. We can't do that. But to be open and flexible, to ask God to change. Plant your word in my heart, Lord. Change my motive. Change my ways. May my ways be aligned, prepared to your ways, O Lord. I know that there's a big chasm between my ways and your ways, O Lord. But you can change me. Paul in the New Testament, said, you know, writing to the Philippians, says, whatever things, you know, meditate on these things. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, good things. Set your mind on them. Whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, or if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, your heart placed upon, your thoughts placed upon, the ability of God's Word to change our core. And like Jehoiada, I like that one scripture, Jehoiada, how he, the Bible says, the high priest, he took Joash, stashed him. You know, if you follow Jehoiada, he wasn't in it for himself. He was just trying to, hey, let's fulfill the prophecies of God to David. For the rightful king prophesied to David would be Joash. He wasn't getting any glory by placing Joash on the throne. But the Bible says that he hid him. He lived his life to place another on his throne. And that's that one scripture there. And, you know, then he set him upon his throne in his kingdom. That's what we're called to do. That Christ would be enthroned in our life. The root of change. That we'd be willing, you know, to live for another. What a alien concept. And yet, God's way. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, do give us wisdom. Jesus, you said, he who hears my words and believes them, like a man who builds his house upon a rock, and then the winds came and the storms came, the flood came, beat upon the house, and it stood. Do give us wisdom, Lord, that we make right choices, follow what's good, filter out what's bad, to prepare our ways before you, Lord, in line with you, according to your way, that we might enthrone you, Lord, in our heart, live life for your kingdom and rule and the sake of another, you, Lord, your ways. Lord, we ask that you would plant your word in our heart, that it would take root, find fertile soil, truly change the meditation of our heart. Infect us, Lord, with good in your spirit, according to your plan. Change us, Lord, from the inside out. We thank you for your word. We ask that you have your way in each and every one of us, Lord, according to your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.